Hello, everyone. We are getting ready to do the weekend motivator. Excuse me. As you can tell, I still have a little bit of a lingering cough. I'm really trying to get rid of it, but it is like my bestie right now, so I'm just hanging with it. I'm going to start with some shout outs, and we'll get that started while everybody's pouring in here. And then I'm going to talk about the three ways you're killing your ability to lose weight, or I think I called it killing your weight loss or something along those lines. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to get you guys out of here so that you can go and enjoy your life and think about your weekend and stuff and how these principles can apply. So for our shout outs, the first person that we have is Tony DuPont. Your thread on compare and despair is actually one of the ones that inspired one of the three things. And your willingness to share your thoughts over other tribe members' successful weight loss, it helped a lot of people. And it's going to continue to help a lot of people today because I think a lot of you aren't willing to admit when you're comparing. I do the same thing. Sometimes I go to places and I'm looking around. My brain immediately goes to shade. It's one of the things I want all of us to recognize when it comes to comparing and judging is that it is a natural thing that all brains do. It doesn't believe it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't really mean anything until we start attaching to it and using it against ourselves. Okay. The next thing is we have Nicole Finch. Good gracious. Nicole Finch, she has lost enough weight to be in the normal BMI category. Welcome to the club. That's an amazing accomplishment. Even though we're not big fans of BMI all the time, it still feels nice to like get those things. Then we also have Ruth Ann Subak, who has lost 8.25 inches since she's joined, and she started in April. And she knows that the scale isn't everything when she's measuring her success, which is good. I think as often as you guys can find non-scale victories. If you don't know what a non-scale victory is, we call it an NSV. A non-scale victory is like looking at outside indicators than just your number to figure out if you're succeeding. And it's really important. The reason why I think you guys have to be on the prowl for those is not just so that on the weeks you don't lose weight, you feel good. It's really not that. It has a lot more to do with your maintenance practice. Most of the diets out there and stuff, they don't really teach you how to keep weight off. And a big piece of keeping your weight off is understanding how to like look for success in all the ways. Because once the scale stops moving, if you're relying on it for it to make you feel good, then when it stops moving, even if it's the weight you want, you will feel weird. Trust me. I see it happen all the time. It happened to me. It's one of those things that you have to wrap your brain around. So one of the antidotes to that is always looking for ways that reinforce you that you're living a great lifestyle, that you are creating the one you want. You're creating the healthy lifestyle you crave and desire. Makes the whole journey a lot easier. The last is Elizabeth Johnson. She shared an experience she had with a friend who is naturally thin. When they were eating dinner, her friend paused and said, "I'm done. I could eat more, but right now I am happily full." And it's like, that's amazing, right? She had half her meal left that she was enjoying on her plate, but chose to think of it as being happily full instead of mad because she was full and couldn't eat more. And she noticed that in her friend. And I'm going to tell you, it was a big thing for me when I started noticing, like I would pay attention to what my thin friends ate like. And I would be like, yeah, I just don't eat that way. One, they usually eat slower. They just don't, like I always said that I eat as if I'm in jail and I'm afraid they're going to take it away from me. Or we're going to have to go out to the yard and I'm going to run out of time. And I remember just growing up, we were always in a hustle. And I'm sure that's where I learned that from. And it wasn't weird to me that we all ate fast. And so when I started paying attention to the way other people ate, I was like, you mean, like my husband to this day, he eats smaller portions than I do typically, and he takes three times longer to eat because he just eats slow. He's in no rush. He's just enjoying the experience. He, all the things. And I think a lot of that, guys, is you have to practice that mindset. Like, if you're going to slow down, your brain is going to argue with you. If you've always ate fast, it's going to act like something's going wrong, and that's going to feel intolerable. You have to just remind yourself, I'm going to practice this level of intolerance in my brain right now to get to my end result. There are so many easy ways for us to hack losing weight. It's unbelievable. And just being willing to like a lot of you don't want to be uncomfortable with hunger, and you don't want to be like, I don't want to tell people no, and I don't want to do all these things. It's like, okay, but you've got to start someplace. At some point, we got to agree that we're going to be uncomfortable. And all that uncomfortableness is coming from that bullshit we keep thinking about. So you need to figure out, like, everybody should make a list of all the places I'm willing to practice, like, just listening to the thoughts that create discomfort in me. That's all that's ever happening. And one of them is like, slow your roll when you're eating. Like, just try it for a week and see what happens. Like, give yourself a whole week of consciously slowing down, noticing when you've sped back up, when you're not doing it, and just been like, rather than being like, I just can't seem to do it. I'm such a loser. I'm just not even gonna fucking try. Because, like, the third time in a row that you're eating fast, I'm like, come on. If you've been eating fast the majority of your life, do not say, like, it's been two whole days. I don't understand why I'm not fixed. Like, y'all be realistic for a hot second with yourself. Just be like, of course I'm still eating fast and forgetting. I've only been doing it for like 40 years. Like, that's part of the process. You have to screw it up like 1,000 times and catch yourself before you start actually doing it the new way, because your brain gets exhausted on having to catch yourself. So it rewires itself to do whatever it is that you're intending to do. But if you quit intending to do it a different way, your brain will never learn the new intention. It's not rocket science, you guys. I know you guys all think, oh God, Corinne, preach. You just so smart. I'm just like, no, I state the obvious. It's like, I am so not smart. I just say shit that's obvious. I say it out loud. That's all that happens. All right. So let's talk about the three things that we're doing that are killing our weight loss. Let me get something to drink. And I'm hot. Oh my gosh, it's hot in here. Y'all know how I get all sweaty and stuff. All right. So number one, compare and despair of other success. That's going to be the number one way that we kill our weight loss. When you catch yourself comparing to someone else, you need to just stop. You do not need to figure out why you do it. You do not need to be frustrated that you're doing it. You don't need to waste any more time. Here's the deal. When you're comparing yourself and you're feeling bad, it is because you look at someone, say somebody has lost 30 pounds. You two joined in the, like, say you're a January baby. And so-and-so's lost 30 pounds. I've lost a big goose egg. And then you feel terrible. And what this is what I will see. A lot of you will be like, I look around and I'm just going to be honest. I see all this success and I feel bad. That is not what's happening. You look around and you see success, and then you have thoughts of lack about yourself. Their success never causes you to feel bad. This is such an important distinction for everyone to make, and I want you guys to really understand it. You have to quit saying, this makes me feel bad. This makes me feel bad. This makes me feel bad. Those words make me feel bad. That picture makes me feel bad. That overeat made me feel bad. None of that ever happens. That person's words did not make you feel bad. What always happens is something happens. You have a shitty thought that makes you feel bad. The reason why this is key is because the only way you'll ever take ownership of your life is to take ownership of the part you actually control, which is what you think. No, we can't stop people from saying things to us. If somebody calls you fat, we can't stop them from calling you fat. But what we can do is stop you from feeling terrible about it enough to go eat and prove them true. We can control your thought. Like, most of you will say, like, I can't believe they should never say that. This just pisses me off. And then you'll go angry eat because you're in frustration, pissed, and sadness, rather than being like, well, they're a douchebag. Thank God I'm in PNP because they're about to be proved wrong. That's a whole different way to think about being called fat. And that is the deal. is that I want you guys to just make a complete practice of when you feel bad, say, I am feeling this right now and I own it. I might not know the thought I'm choosing, but I no longer blame something. Look for what you're blaming, like saying, well, it's because he said something. It's because my boss did this. It's because the traffic. It's because of whatever. So like, okay, and then what am I thinking about that? Because whatever I'm thinking, that's exactly why I'm mad. I may be choosing to be mad. I may be choosing to be happy, whatever. But I no longer act like my feelings are outside of my control. Our feelings are always within our control. And this is the thing. A lot of you always want to feel good. I'm like, fuck that. Let's just decide we're going to own all of them first. I don't always feel amazing. In fact, I didn't get some stuff done yesterday, and I woke up this morning feeling incredibly disappointed in myself. And I knew that I was disappointed, not because I didn't get stuff done yesterday. You know what I was disappointed in? The thoughts I had about me. And my thoughts were, you planned it, you own it. I wanted to be a little disappointed in myself. I did not want to sit there and be like, oh, it's okay. I didn't want to feel accommodating. I didn't want to feel good about it. You know what I wanted to be? Sitting in my disappointment and challenging myself to today follow the schedule and get what I didn't get done yesterday done. Figure out my new plan. That is how you want to like go through life. You want to make sure that you are totally owning that everything that happens in the world, that you don't control. The only thing you have responsibility for is everything you think about it. And you don't have to feel good about everything, but you'd never abdicate your responsibility for your feelings ever again. The moment you really quit doing that, you just start with the basic practice of, this happened, I feel this, it must be because I might be thinking this, I might be thinking that. Guess at it, whatever you got to do, but don't ever say, other people's success is what makes me feel bad. Other people's words make me feel bad. The distinction here is so important. And so when you catch yourself comparing, then you, and if it feels bad, because here's the thing, some people can see other people, like a lot of you joined, I'm going to tell you how, like, you don't have to feel like shit when you see other people's success and how it's all your fault if you do. Okay, I'm a big believer in taking total responsibility. Like, I'm like, it's my fault I feel bad. Why am I choosing to feel bad? A lot of you joined PNP Tribe because of my story and my success. You know what it did? Motivated your ass. You didn't sit there and go like, oh, another person who's lost 100 pounds. I feel so dejected. I'm going to pay her. That is not why. You started feeling hope. You started feeling motivated. You started feeling things because you saw my success and you attached thoughts to it. Whatever thought you attached to me losing 100 pounds, you could attach the same thought to any single person in the tribe who's losing weight. And rather than comparing and despairing, ask. Say, we joined at the same time. Tell me what you've been doing that's working for you. Give me one thought that's been working for you. Tell me the one like mistake that you made over and over again in the beginning and how you fixed that. Or tell them like where you're getting clogged and say, what advice would you give me? You seem to have licked that one. Those people are the very people you should be asking advice from and not sitting around douchebagging on yourself. That's the problem you have. It's not their success. It's you being a total douche to yourself. By saying shit like, I'll never get my stuff together. They make me feel bad. That's just a pity party. You're not going to get anywhere with your weight loss doing that. All right, number two, the day after not following your plan perfectly. Guys, the most important moment in weight loss is the moment after the overeat. How you show up for yourself and how you don't show up for yourself will tell me everything I need to know if you're ever going to be a success story. The people who succeed overeat a lot. The people who don't succeed quit. There's your difference. But we all overeating. All of us are overeating to the bank or to the back of the line. One or the other. You have got to take your day after perfect. You've got to take your overeats, and you have to start thinking about them like this is the next step to losing weight. When I solve for this, I'll have one more problem solved, and it'll take me one step closer to weight loss. The reason why I'm overeating is because this one thing needs to get fixed. The only reason I'm overweight is because this thing right here deserves my attention. You guys don't want to put attention on it. You know what you want to do? Beat yourself up as usual. Go to all or nothing thinking. You start thinking, well, I can't do that realistic plan. There's just no way. I couldn't ask for help. They'll think I'm stupid. Like, you guys do a lot of like pointless ass activities around losing weight rather than doing the obvious things. If you overate, make a better plan for tomorrow. Not a harder one, not a crazy one, but just ask yourself, why did I overeat today? Was it just because I wanted it? Then guess what? Tomorrow, I need to plan to want some stuff. And I need to do like a practice day of like, okay, this is the day that I'm for sure not going to respond to wants, but I'm going to go through the day knowing I'm going to want a lot that day. And I'm going to listen for everything I think about, and I'm going to track it and all this other stuff. You guys never want to practice that stuff. You just want to keep hoping and wishing that you're going to suddenly not have food urges and suddenly not want stuff. That shit doesn't happen ever. You know how it goes away? You practicing not responding. So you have to set yourself up for some of that stuff every now and then. You need to like make that realistic plan so realistic that when the want comes to break that, it's very easy to say no. But you still have to do that stuff. You still have to plan for those things. So make a plan today. What are the things that I am no longer willing to say to myself when I overeat? What are the things, like, I love this idea of thinking about, if you, like, after, and you guys can do this, after an overeat, if I just, like, if my child's life or my fur baby's life, my mother, you pick the person you love in the world. There's somebody or something you love. Pick them. If their life depended on after an overeat, you were not allowed to throw shade at yourself and you had to come up with an action plan, what would you be doing? So many of you never even take time to consider, like, yeah, what would I be doing? If I wasn't beating myself up all the time, if I wasn't calling myself names, if I wasn't worrying about my weight loss, if I wasn't doing all that, what would be left in life? What are some of these things I would be doing? That's a really good question. Because if you don't have anything, then you're filling that with beating yourself up because that's what's now comfortable. You're filling it with overeats so that you don't have that space to have to figure out your life. If you take away your overeating, what do you have? That is a very powerful question. I love the idea of sitting around being like, man, if I couldn't, like literally, this is what I think it would be like if I just couldn't overeat anymore. If I could never overeat ever again. If somebody said they would murder my family if I overate, I'd have to figure out life. But a lot of you act like, it's like, well, I don't know if I could give that up. It's like, oh my gosh, think about that. Why do you need it? It's causing you so much pain. And like looking at those reasons and asking yourself, like, why am I willing to pay such a high price to be full for a few minutes and then suffer the back end for so long? Whatever's in that moment, figure out what's there. What is it that you're eating over? All right, the last thing is thinking that something outside of yourself is ruining your life. I've already kind of covered that in the first one. There's nothing outside of you ruining your life. That is just something you should believe. I'm just going to tell you right now. There's no upside. A lot of you will argue with me. Yeah, but you don't know my boss. You don't know how my husband talks to me. you don't know what my mom is like. You don't know how hard it is with me and my kid with disabilities. No, I don't. But you know what I do know? You thinking that they're ruining your life, for fuck sure isn't helping you lose weight. It's also for fuck sure not helping you build your life. It's a thought that will never serve you, so don't argue with me why you should be able to keep it. If you want to argue about something, let's argue about how you're going to start believing in yourself. Let's argue about the inner conversation you're having with you. Let's argue for your future and for your happiness. Let's not argue for your pain. So many of you spend so much time defending why you should be miserable, why you should tear down yourself and your life with your own words, your own thoughts. I suffered so many years with Logan's autism, and nothing has changed. And even now when I catch myself, like, I know you all think he's amazing and stuff, but I'm just gonna tell you, as a mother, there are just times that I will see him struggling. Like, he just doesn't have friends at school. He says his friends are all his PNP girls. You know, as a mom, sometimes I just worry about that. Now, is he really learning what true friendships are because he doesn't have friends in school? And I watch my brain go to all those places. And I sit there and I think, how does that serve you? How does that make you feel good? Like, do you want to look at your child with pity? No. But so many people would argue with me that, oh yeah, that's a real worry. You should be like scared to death. It's like, no, I shouldn't be. I should just notice where he's at in his journey. Doesn't mean I have to feel amazing about it. But it also doesn't mean I need to create a shit show around it either for me. It's like that I can just ask myself in those situations, like, is this how I want to be thinking about my child right now? That he has an inability to make friends with people his own age? Or do I want to think he's got a long life ahead of him? He may not have friends figured out now, but maybe he will one day. And today, that's enough. And that is what I'm talking about. You guys allow so much of your life to, like, sit there and, like, you'll say, it's ruining me. I never want you to say that ever again. Just say, I have a life and I got a fuck ton of thoughts about it. And that is what creates all the feelings that I have. It's not the life, it's the feelings I have about it. And no, I don't have to feel amazing about it all. I just need to take ownership for all of it. It is such a more empowering place to be. And guys, that is what, like, weight loss is all about. It is not about, like you guys get so caught up in your hunger scale and dialing this and dialing that. And it's like, that stuff's important. But it's hard to stay focused on the four basics when you're not keeping your brain in check and you're letting it run wild with all kinds of hoonanny throughout the world. It is much easier to slow your roll on eating when you're not distracted by your own thoughts of how so-and-so is ruining your life. If your brain's focused on bullshit thoughts like that, guess what you're doing? Gobbling your food, forgetting to pay attention. You don't even remember you had a 24-hour plan. A little bite here and there, yeah, it goes unconscious because your brain, that is why I want you always examining what's going on in your head. What's been consuming your thoughts all day long? Because until you get those in check, it's really hard to stay focused on what you're doing with your food in the moment. It's a lot easier when you start getting your brain in check. That is why we don't spend all of our time just talking about food lists and what's healthy and what's not and stuff. You know what's healthy? Purging your brain. I don't have you guys cleaning your fridges out the first of the month every month for a reason. Because your brain is way more valuable. The things that you think are way more valuable. And what you do and don't think on purpose will tell me everything there is to know about whether or not you will be successful in weight loss. Okay. Does anybody have any quick questions before we get out of here, since this is the motivator day? If you do have a question, Oh, here's Chris. My husband has Asperger's and he has the relationships he wants. They are different from what I would want, but he is happy. Yeah, and that's what I think about Logan. Boy, he loves y'all. I'm just going to tell you. And there's a few of you. Logan reminds me of me when it comes to you guys. He'll start talking about you guys, like his girls. And he'll ask me about the girls and, you know, what did I talk to you guys about today? But he almost treats you guys like a job. I'm just like, oh, Logan, you're so sweet. But he cannot wait for June for the Don't Stop Believing. He's already planning on coming to the damn party. He's already talking about the October one. I'm just like, he is becoming like Mr. I want to be at all the PNP events. He's just funny. And I will tell you, if you've ever seen him there, he does so good when he's there. And being in big crowds totally overwhelms him. He has to do a lot of mind management to come to those. He has to prepare himself for being overwhelmed. He has to prepare himself for, lots of people being there. But he always says, like, it's worth it in the end because he loves, like at the end, he's very grateful he's there. And I always say that he's such a good, like, example of someone who knows he's going to be uncomfortable and prepares himself mentally for it and then does it anyway. Like, he understands delayed gratification, which is something we all need to understand. It's like, how can I be uncomfortable so that I can lose my weight, so I can be very, satisfied with myself and in pride with myself when I weigh in versus I just need to have this right now because I haven't been managing my mind all day. But yeah, he's a sweet boy. He wants us to have an anthem. He's determined we're going to have this. And I don't mean Don't Stop Believing. He wants us to have like an anthem like a nation would have. He would like for us all to sing it. His ideas are hilarious. You can tell he studies world history because he like studies all the history of the world and he notices they all have like flags and anthems and I think he thinks we're a world. So anyway, okay, I guess that's it. Guys, y'all have how do I know if I'm not eating enough? You would know, you would feel horrible. If you're not eating enough, you would feel horrible. Right now, if you're not feeling horrible and you're losing weight and you aren't like sitting around noticing you're dizzy and passing out and stuff, probably doing just fine. Most of us have enough stored. I probably could go 3 days myself without eating and be just fine. Our bodies know how to tap into all the calories we store up like squirrels getting ready for the winter. So, you know, I would just listen to your body. If you're not getting headaches, if you're not if you feel energetic, you're getting plenty of food. If you notice you're feeling terrible, and like your health is like what and whatnot, you know you're probably not eating enough at that point. Make sure that you're only losing. Now, if you are, let's say, 250 or below, you want to be losing about 2 pounds a week. If you're over 250, you probably could be losing 3 to 4 pounds a week for a while. Sometimes, and some people just are 1 to 2 pound a week losers the entire journey. I started at 250. I was always and when I say a slow loser, I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way. I just was always just on a pace. Like, I was never somebody that every now and then I'd have like big drops, but I'd also have like 3 or 4 weeks of no drops before I would have them. But I was always more of just like, a little comes off, a little comes off, a little comes off. I just always feel like, whatever, just get it in the bucket. It's all I care about. So that's just one of the things that I would, but like, just listen to how your body's feeling. Okay, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Y'all have a good one. This weekend, make your 24-hour plans. Make sure they're realistic. Remember, I tell you this every week, your weekend plan might need to be different than what you do when you're on a schedule during the week. Don't be caught off guard that it's, you know, it's harder on the weekend. It's not harder on the weekend. Be more realistic. If you're going to have more time, just make sure you plan accordingly and be done with it and free your brain up to think about other stuff. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.